It's Saturday, January the 18th, 2016. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley and Shelley Fryer, narrowcasting from Oklahoma City.
Welcome to Kansas State University's iCamp. Today's been a great day of professional learning. Today we learned from Dr. Wes Fryer and his wife Shelley about ways to engage students using technology. We learned that creating is learning, and sometimes we learn best by making mistakes. We learned that relationships matter, and those aren't just relationships with our kids, but relationships with colleagues. We learned that some of the most important learning we can do takes place when we create, so we must be brave and give it a go.
Well, hello, and welcome to a reflective podcast following our iCamp KSU 2016 workshop that Shelley and I led this weekend up in Manhattan, Kansas. This was the second, I think it was the second year. I know I did it last year. I don't know if I did it before. Last year, I had about 150 folks in a lecture hall in the education building. And we were very happy, and I'll include in the podcast show notes a link to all of those apps. In fact, they're still on the website iPadWithWes.com/apps, or if you can just click the link for apps. But this time we took a different approach, and so I'm going to ask Shelley if she'll reflect a little bit on kind of just the day, kind of how it was set up, and tell people about that. And then we've made a few notes to basically talk about some of the most important things, the making activity, and reflect a little bit on things that we might change and what we're thinking in terms of iPadPalooza, because we have a possibility of going to iPadPalooza in June. So you want to tell people just a little bit about the day, how it was set up and organized, and goals or whatever is for, in terms of just giving people a sense. And by the way, we are on our Martin Luther King holiday. We have a fire in the fireplace, and we've had nice coffee, and It's a great time to, it's not a snow day, but it feels like a snow day. Tell people a little bit about the setup for the workshop.
Hey, I'm Shelley Fryer, third and fourth grade teacher, and this was actually the first workshop that Wes and I have done really together. I've been at many of his workshops and have contributed a little bit, but I feel like this is the first one we actually did in tandem together. So, it was kind of a big step for me. Our workshop was a one-day workshop, 8:30 to 3:30, and so we had it pretty jam-packed with a lot of projects that we wanted to do. It was nice. It was a
Willow! No, our dog was just
getting a napkin. It was our first, I mean, it was nice that everybody had iPads, so we knew we could just focus on that one platform. And it was nice that we were dealing with educators, a few pre-service educators, and a few higher ed, which is always exciting to have higher ed people involved in a workshop. We were dealing with primarily elementary, but a few secondary users as well. We really spent a lot of time trying to develop which apps that we thought were best used in the classroom.
For creating media.
Wes and I are both we began talking about kind of our goal of inside and outside sharing, and I know Wes will discuss that a little more later about how that that idea that he and I have been sharing and developing together. I thought it was really important that we plan out our day because we were so time crunched with just a one day, and we like to provide plenty of hands-on time for people to produce products. We were very intentional about, coming up with activities, that we could reflect on all day long. We started with, a hands-on activity, kind of a STEM design challenge, because we both know that when you have authentic material to work with and to reflect on, it makes that a lot more powerful and a lot easier to come up with ideas and projects, you know, to create with. And so we spent time doing that. We also, when we were organizing the workshop, spent a lot of time deciding how long each activity would take and how much time to allot to that. We were very intentional about the time that we spent on that. We were very intentional about who was going to present what part of it. Like I would introduce, let's say, Seesaw and how I was using it in the classroom. Wes was more about the nuts and bolts, how to set up the Seesaw and how to get that ready for us to use and how we were going to use it throughout the day. We had to, you know, guesstimate. And I think that's valuable in a workshop situation, that the instructor is very intentional about what they're doing and how long they're providing people to do that. We had a working lunch. We had 30 minutes for lunch, and it was kind of a working lunch almost. We had break time, work time. So we set up work times for the participants, but really that was also a time for them to go and take a break. I think so much time can be lost in a day like this, and just, you know, once you let people go and they start talking and moving around, then you begin to lose people. In fact, we lost, you know, quite a few people, in the afternoons, but some of that's, you know, people are traveling and the weather was looking, you know, sketchy. But anyway, we were just, you know, we spent a lot of time developing this idea of how long and what we were going to do.
Hi, this is James, and I'm here with
Aaron Bender.
And we're working on answering the question, how are we going to help our students show what they know using digital media?
Hey, with the many tools that Mr. Alberto and I have gathered today at the iPad camp, what we are wanting to do is teach them to our students and let them have a more hands-on approach to their education, and hopefully to learn that they will want to use these within their own classrooms and teach to their own students.
The main idea with this is for us to empower our students this semester to really take charge of their own learning. So more than anything, we just want to put these tools that we've learned today in their hands and then see what they can make of it and see what they can create using them.
So I don't know where I picked this up, but we did a three important things activity. We had 164 people in the two ballrooms of the Alumni Center at Kansas State University. And this was hosted by the College of Education and organized by our friend Cindy Danner-Kuhn, who did a great job getting this all together. This was the first time I did a full-day workshop like this using a Google Doc instead of a Google site. And we'll hopefully mention this later as well, and it'll be in the show notes. But if you want to access the entire day's curriculum with all our timings and links and everything, it is on wfryer.me/iCamp06. And the last part of it is case sensitive. So it's wfryer.me/iCamp06. iCamp06. This is really a shout out to Ben Wilkoff out in Denver at the Google Summit that they hosted in June at Keystone. I got to see, I think I saw two of his sessions, and you know, he did something as simple as having the Google Doc on the projector and throwing some ideas and questions out there, and then getting a conversation going and teachers editing and putting it together. Because we had so many people participating, we didn't open it up for everyone. So we, you know, we were the ones when editing the doc. But Shelley does all her lesson plans and has for 3 years on Google Docs and is really familiar with it. And anyway, it was so handy to be able to do that. In fact, on the way up, while I was driving, we had our little Verizon hotspot on, and she was connected with her Chromebook and worked almost the whole way up. It was like a 5.5 hour drive, so six hour drive up from Oklahoma City to Manhattan. So the three important things is just a quick introduction to say turn to your neighbor, and I want you to share three important things about you, professionally or personally, and then have them do the same. And so we wrote down some important things as we started here. My three important things, number one was, This gave a chance to amplify Shelley and her voice. You know, she's in a very unique school, doing important work as all teachers are. All teachers are doing vital, important work. I get to hear her stories and hear about things that are happening, and not just about the hard stuff, but also the stories of hope and joy and connection and success. And so I just loved that opportunity to be able to amplify her voice and let her share her stories and tell the story of her school, which is really which is important on so many different levels. We wish that every school and every community had a chance to provide the kind of support for families as well as students that her school does. Positive Tomorrows. And it's positivetomorrows.org, by the way. That was something we talked about this morning was, you know, that that's important, letting people know what the schools, how to connect to the school and support the school, but also learn lessons from the school. We gave time to make and build, which is a critical lesson that's come out of the iPad Media Camp that I've led the last 4 years, and I'm going to continue to do this summer. In fact, there's going to be a video version of iPad Media Camp so that if you'd like to bring that 3-day workshop to your teachers, then you could facilitate that and purchase the videos, access to the videos that'll introduce each module, and that's after my taxes are done for the FAFSA and all that good stuff. Pretty much this month, that's my main after school, after work priority is getting that done. And then the third thing for me was seesaw practice. This was the first time, well, last summer at the STEM Seeds 3-day workshop that I led with Amy Leffeholtz, we'd introduced seesaw, but we didn't layer it in all the time. Like after each activity, okay, let's share. And that's as Shelley talked about, where the inside and outside sharing. Let's share inside using seesaw, and then let's share outside using an app or a tool like Opinion for radio shows or Adobe Voice for a narrated slideshow, and then using our Twitter hashtag. Which, by the way, the Twitter hashtag is iCampKSU, and I will layer in here a little bit some of the reflections that participants shared who made Adobe Voice projects. And on the Opinion app, when we did the radio show, we asked the why question. Why should students create media on their iPads? And then when we got to the narrated slideshow with Adobe Voice, we asked participants to talk about how they would use their iPads with students to create.
I'm coming away from iCamp KSU today very inspired to create a digital sandbox learning environment in my classroom this semester. One of the first projects we'll do will be to use a pic collage to create a variety of learning activities for our students. I'm excited to play in the sandbox with Adobe Slate in order to help my students create stories with images and sound. I'm most excited to utilize the Opinion app to create an ongoing classroom podcast. I'm leaving iCamp today inspired to offer opportunities to my students to be creative in their own classrooms.
I think it's really important in a workshop like this. A lot of people end up coming out of there with a lot of great ideas, but feeling overwhelmed with what they're actually going to do. And so I kind of come up with this thing, not what can I do? I can, you know, do Newsomatic and Seesaw and do all of this, but what will I do? And so I think it goes back to like picking that one thing that you're going to start with. I will do, you know, set up some digital portfolios. I will, you know, collect some audio voices of my students, you know, doing a fluency passage. So, I always like to go away with at least one thing that I know I will take back to my classroom and I will do. And then sometimes I will end up doing several things, but always picking the one, but then always having those other ideas kind of percolating in the back. You know, sometimes I have to hear about an app or a project several times before I decide how it's going to fit into my classroom and what project I'm going to assign with that. Because as I think I presented this in the workshop, you know, I have a lot of apps that I just provide for my students to explore and kind of a sandbox. We talked about that whole sandbox. So a sandbox of apps that my kids, explore. So I have like a coding sandbox, and I have, a reading sandbox, you know, where they have different types of, you know, whether it's Newsomatic or Raz Kids or Mayan, where they can go and read, and then later I'll go back in and pull things out of that sandbox to do an intentional project on. So I provide my students with a lot of time to play around with the apps, to have fun with the apps, to learn things from the apps. A lot of times they learn even like in Pic Collage, my students have picked up a lot of things that I never would have ever even thought to show them. And so, now I'm at the point in my year that they've been exposed and had time to play with a lot of these apps. And so I'll pick one out. So the one that I want to fit into, whether it's our Black History projects or an electricity project that we're doing, so, and give purpose to these apps. So I think it's really important to what will I do in the classroom and how am I going to make it fit and which app is best going to help me get to that point.
Today at Camp iPad, we learned about lots of new and interesting apps that will help students create digital media on their iPads. One app I'm particularly excited about is Voice Recorder Pro. It allows students to narrate a picture, giving them the opportunity to explain their ideas and their reasonings and understandings. Another app you could use in the classroom is called Canva. It allows students to create infographics. We also learned about Seesaw, which could give students the opportunity to share their work with others, to send their work to their parents, and to let their classmates see what they've been up to. Lastly, we learned about an app called Adobe Voice, which allows your students to create a narrated slideshow to demonstrate their learning and show how they'll be applying it. This video was created with Adobe Voice. If you're ready to learn about new apps that you can use to have students creating digital media in your classroom, give me a call or drop me an email. Have a great day.
One thing we did that was different, that is a takeaway from Ed Camps, was we had an app Smackdown. And if you're not familiar with an app Smackdown, basically it is just a quick series of apps that are shared by different people, 3 minutes or less, and then you're done. So you set a little timer. And it gives an opportunity for folks to be exposed to different apps in a short period of time. But hopefully people don't get bogged down, you know, too much as far as the sharing and the showing. So Cindy, Danner Kuhn, and Shelley and I both had planned about 3 apps that we wanted to share, but then we went ahead and put a Google form out there for people to submit. And we had probably 7 or 8 people submit, and we only really had time for 2 of those to join in. So we could have done that a little bit differently as far as having more of the participants share. At an Ed Camp, I mean, an Ed Smackdown can be kind of disjointed, and you could end up having a lot of apps that are on the personal productivity side, which is not bad. I mean, that's good. We wanted to emphasize the creation apps and the things that, how can students show what they know with media? And so, in fact, a lot of this draws on the website showwithmedia.com that I'm continuing to work on and build out and tweak. I think we decided this weekend that I'm going to possibly pull puppet video into quick edit video and then have a separate section for green screen. Because green screen is something that we've both worked with a lot, and it's just really, it is a form of quick edit video and it's a form of digital storytelling. Anyway, but it's something that we've done a lot with, and it really kind of stands on its own. So, I don't know. What did you think of the app Smackdown? And what did you take away anything? I enjoyed learning about Canva and Slate. Those were two that I hadn't really worked with that Cindy and one of her pre-service teachers shared. How did you think that went, and anything you took away from it?
I think that app Smackdowns are always a lot of fun, but I have to definitely admit I was more worried about what I was going to present, what I was going to say, as to really listening to what other people were doing. So, you know, but I do like the fact that our app Smackdown, that we, again, had picked some things that we were really passionate about and using in the classroom. We didn't, you know, we had 3 minutes to present that. And so kind of putting your spiel down into 3 minutes is always a challenge. But I think people enjoy those small nuggets of takeaways, too. And it provides some opportunity for them to go back and explore some things that made sense to them. Yeah, I'd like to go look at Slate and Canva as well. So maybe that's my job, is to go back and actually look at those things.
Shelley mentioned this earlier, but one of the things we've really found to be excellent in workshops is to start with a making activity. And so we did the Marshmallow Challenge, which is a well-known STEM design and collaboration challenge that there's a TED Talk about it, and there's a whole, just Google Marshmallow Challenge and you'll find the website that's dedicated to it. And each group gets a paper bag that has what, like 12 or 24? I remember a certain number of...
18.
18 spaghetti strands and a yard of string and a yard of masking tape and a large marshmallow. And you have 18 minutes to work together as a group and make the tallest tower that you can. And so we had 26 tables of six, basically. And that was a lot of fun. We encouraged everybody to try and take at least 5 pictures. This worked really well. I logged in on my Flickr account on Shelley's iPhone and Cindy's iPhone. And then all of us took pictures and then uploaded them into the same album. And we had over then 200 pictures of the Marshmallow Challenge, which we'll include that link in the show notes as well. And so that was modeling for folks how, you know, during a classroom activity, it can be difficult to both photograph it, document it on your iPad or device, you know, and participate in it. And I certainly found the last 2 years teaching fourth and fifth grade STEM that if I could do the documenting then and share a link to those pictures, then my students could, you know, access those and use those. So you want to talk a little bit about the skill progression? Because we had some basic skills like scanning QR codes. And, I mean, we didn't even talk about downloading apps, I guess. But, you know, we kind of went photos from PicCollage to, narrated art, narrated photos to radio show to, the narrated slideshow. Or do you just want to talk about your radio show? That was one. Nope, not yet.
No, because it made me think of something. I think, you know, in 160 people, I think, you know, you have people there with all levels of experience. And in even some of the most basic things, I think you are so good at, explaining, you know, like, you know, what's the universal thing for adding something? Well, there's usually a plus sign, and you're going to find that it's universal to most apps, you know. The share square, you know, when you want to share out and you're sharing. Oh, we need to talk about that too. Sharing inside and then outside too. And we intentionally built that into each activity that we did as well, encouraging people to share out to Twitter or share into their portfolio. But I think, where was I going? Oh, you know, just the little basic nuggets of, you know, like the share square or like the add button or, how to take a screenshot, you know, there are a lot of skills that, you know, users who have been, you know, using iPads, are just do without even thinking that they're doing it. But there are a lot of new users to iPads, you know, how to double click and go in between apps, you know, some people go back to their page and continually look, or how to just use the pull down with your finger and highlight, you know, the spotlight thing. And so I do think, especially in a workshop like this, when you're dealing with so many different users, you know, I think it's really great when, whoever is doing the presenting will just throw those little explanation tips in. It doesn't take a lot of time to do. It really, you know, can be one of the most valuable things of the workshop that you learned how to use the share square and what that meant, you know, or how to save to your photo roll. Also, I think workflow is very important. And I know in my classroom, we've developed kind of a workflow that, even when we're taking video or taking pictures or grabbing things from other places, we save to the photo roll. That way we have it with us all the time. And then if we we choose to share out something that we've done, you know, we can always go back to those apps, but we tend to share out from the photo roll instead of sharing out from the app itself. And I think that's important to develop a logical workflow. And that's something that we talked about as we were working, you know, about just what is a logical workflow, when you're app smashing, which is a whole other topic that people don't understand either.
Well, and that was that. There was a couple ahas that came out of our 5-hour discussion driving up to plan for this. And one was this idea that some apps are ready, I think this is what we kind of settled on, for direct sharing. So Opinion, which is what Shelley's used for her classroom radio show, which you have over 20 episodes so far this year. Adobe Voice, which gives you a link. I mean, you don't have to put it on YouTube. You say, I want to share it with a link, and then it gives you a link. It's ready for direct sharing. So there's apps that are like that, and then there's also apps that are ready for inside sharing. which is, I mean, like Voice Record Pro will save your narrated photo to your camera roll as a video. So the number one, and I wrote a post about it yesterday, right before we left for church. And, this is one of the iPad Palooza sessions. I think if we get to go, and this works out, that we'll try to share together, is about inside and outside sharing. Inside sharing is, without digital, what we're all doing a lot of. You know, we're talking about stuff at face to face. We're putting student work on the wall. We put it in the hallway. We ask students to present. I mean, everything's inside the classroom, inside the school building, inside sharing. And so the Seesaw app, which Shelley's been using for a year and a half or something like that, is really a great tool for sharing inside the class. There are other tools that do that. Google Classroom, tool like Edmodo. Some people would call those walled gardens, but you have to have a login and a password in order to share there. But that's for inside sharing. I feel very, very passionate about the importance of outside sharing as well, because this is how we're inspired. And this is how we also have our students find an audience beyond the classroom. And so we talked about that, you know, we want to not just share inside, but we want to share outside as well. And so with these apps that are set up for direct outside sharing, you know, you have this link, and that's where we use our hashtag ICampKSU. And that's how, you know, we're able to bring in some of these other voices. I think I'm going to intersperse these with the recording, actually. And then I'll try to introduce, you know, who it was, that shared it. 'Cause these were all about, you know, 2 to 3 minute recordings. But without that, you know, you have 160 people in this room, whether you have 30 students, you know, 20 students, 15, whatever. There's always more going on in students' minds and in their work than we have time to sit there and listen to during class. In fact, that's one of the most powerful things about digital media. It expands the walls of the classroom and allows us to listen to our students, you know, when we're not sitting there in class because things have been recorded. And that can happen with inside sharing and with outside sharing.
Today at iCamp 2016, we learned a few different ways that students can create using digital media in our classroom. One app we can use in the classroom to help students create digital media is PicCollage, which allows students to take pictures they've taken on their digital device and make their own collage with it. Adobe Slate is another great way that students can use digital media to create a unique, professional-looking story for their portfolio. Another app that's useful for helping students create with digital media that I can use in my classroom is the Opinion app, which allows students to create and publish podcasts. The most important thing to remember about having students create with digital media is that they need a place to be able to share that digital creation with you. Seesaw is an app that allows students to do just this. iCamp 2016 was a great experience for all of us here today. We learned a lot about helping students create with digital media and how they can share those creations.
Do you want to say anything about inside and outside sharing?
I'm actually working on playing with a new app, so I'm getting ready to share it outside. It's called Halftone. It's a cartooning app. It's kind of cool. It's the first time I've played with it. I think where I was coming through with this workshop, where I feel the most centered, is sharing the stories of my classroom. That's where I feel passionate about. Anytime you can get me talking about my students or my school or the things we're doing in the classroom, that's where I feel very, very comfortable. And so all the talk about the apps and why I use it, I stick to the things that I know that we're doing in the classroom and why we're doing it, because every app that I use has a purpose. And I am really big on focusing on classroom community. And so, using my apps to build classroom community is very powerful. And so all of the apps that I use, I mean, yes, there is educational value and as a project-based learning tool, but I think the most valuable thing is building that classroom community. And so, the apps like Seesaw or Opinion Pod, those are the things that have helped me with that challenge of building community, you know. And I see, yes, Seesaw is a very valuable, inside sharing opportunity where we can share student work with each other. But the what has happened this year with it, which is very unintentional, but, you know, I invited the parents to join, but just the power of sharing those projects with parents and having that dialogue and modeling, you know, positive comments or the positive things we're doing in the classroom has been, it's been huge, you know, for connecting with parents. And though it saddens me that, you know, a lot of parents in my situation don't have smartphones or they change phones so frequently, that I'm not able to reach as many parents as I would like. For those few that I have been able to reach, it's been one of the most powerful things, and it's helped me to know them better, and it's helped them to see the value of their own student work that they might not really have even paid attention to otherwise. So that inside sharing and choosing your apps for that purpose is very valuable. Also, and you know, I've been a Twitter user for I don't know how many years, but I feel like just in the last couple of years is when I've really been able to use it in a way to highlight and emphasize the work that my students are doing in the classroom. And for me, that's what I like to do is, I guess I just I'm big about talking about the relationships and what I'm doing in the classroom. And for me, that's my focus and my purpose is to highlight my student work.
So that's a kind of a segue to talk about iPadPalooza, and then we'll wrap it up. If you're not aware, iPadPalooza is a fantastic summer conference that happens right before ISTE, so it's like the third week of June. I don't have the exact dates in front of me. And there's also regional iPad Paloozas as well. Carl Hooker at Eanes ISD is the originator, the founder of the feast. And so we've been talking about sessions that Shelley might share and me as well, and things that we might do together. The two that we kind of came up with for Shelley, one was, what was it? I wrote it down. Building classroom community with digital tools, mm-hmm. and then also iPads and Maker Studio. So can you elaborate a little bit more on what you're thinking about for the building classroom community? What do you want to highlight? What are the things you'll talk about in that session? Because there are things that you did talk about on Friday, but it might not have been as explicitly focused on this idea of classroom community. So what do you mean by classroom community, and then what do you think are some of the key things you would bring out in that session if you share that?
Ooh, you're making me think. Well, just like I said earlier, there are a couple things that I think as a part of my, you know, the way that we're doing classrooms that are so important. One of those is morning meetings. I love having morning meetings. It's our time to come together, to greet each other, to find out what we're going to be doing in the day. We share our good news and our bad news. And I think that's a really great opportunity for us to listen to each other and start off our day. Not really very appy in that. But from there, we go out into our learning centers. And so it is really important. Well, I take that back. Sometimes in morning meeting, we definitely use News-O-Matic. That's one of the activities that my students can choose when they first come into the classroom, is to read the daily news to find out what's going on in the world around us. And especially when students are really excited about an article that they've just read, we definitely take time in morning meeting to discuss that, to reflect on that, and, you know, how does that relate to us? And so, you know, that, or, you know, even if it's sharing a book that we're reading, that's a great opportunity when we discuss those types of things. Also, I've talked a little bit about ditching my desk this year. I've been inspired by a lot of great educators on what that looks like and sounds like. And I think choosing the right apps to, you know, we do kind of a flipped classroom. So we flip it into, a learning space, you know, the writing station or whatever, where, you know, rather than me being the deliverer of all information, you know, I've really spent a lot of time trying to flip that, to finding others who are explaining handwriting, or others that are explaining electricity, or others that are explaining writing. And so, you know, flipping that into that, and it's all a part of our learning environment, which is very much an important part of our classroom community. also, I talked about, you know, like our makers time in the afternoons, you know, just, you know, what does it look like to work together? What does it look like? What does it sound like to work together? And in a lot of some of the makers time that we use, we're using our iPads. And even though we're one to one, the kids are very much into the conversations between each other, and their iPads. And that's been really important. So I think, you know, choosing the right apps that fit into our classroom community, we're playing around with biographies now, and we're reading about Thomas Edison because we're studying about electricity, because I know that in February we'll do a big Black History project where, I think this year we're going to focus on contemporary Black, people and who, you know, what they're doing, in the community. And so we will do a Black History project and, you know, choosing the right apps to use that. So it's about building the, using the apps, you know, intentionally to what fits into our learning community, and not just what's the latest and the greatest. So anyway, that's what I want to look at is a presentation at iPad Palooza, because I think that's what I feel very passionately about is building relationships in the classroom, and that these iPads are just tools. The apps are just tools and a means to showing students that yes, they have voice, that yes, their voice matters, that yes, others want to hear what they're doing in the classroom. So, and that's really kind of what I'm working on right now.
Hi, today is January 15th, and this is Room KSU Alumni Center in Manhattan, Kansas. And our question today is, why should our students create media on iPads?
Hi, my name is Lonnie, and I think students should create media because it provides a digital outlet for their creativity and lets them show what they know.
Hi, my name is Kristen, and I think kids should use digital media so they can practice their speaking skills with others.
Hi, my name is Kim, and I think students should use digital media because it helps them build confidence in speaking and connecting with other people.
Hi, my name is Stacy, and I think students should create media on their iPads because it's fun.
And then we want to share a couple of thoughts. You did mention Maker Studio, but apps in Maker Studio, or you were going to say iPads in Maker Studio. That's the other one that you're thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. What apps are we using in Maker Studio? You know, what iPad apps are we using not only to just to function in, because we, you know, we have a lot of great coding apps that we use. We have a lot of building apps that we use, you know, whether it's green screen or Lego stop motion. So those apps that we're using, but also, you know, non-appy things, you know, the challenges and how those challenges build community and conversation between students. And I think, again, I think that's the most important thing. It's not so much the apps that we do, but it's how we're using those apps. What does it look like and sound like to work together, and making the relationships the focus, not just the tool.
Okay, well, if people want to follow up with you, Shelley, how can they find you online?
Our classroom webpage, and that probably has the most examples of our student work and what we're doing in the classroom, is classroom.shelleyfryer.com.
Your blog?
My blog is
shelleyfryer.com.
Gee, that's a hard one to remember, isn't it? And then I'm S. Fryer on Twitter, so...
Okay, and her school is positivetomorrows.org, and you can follow her school at PTOKC. If you're interested in iPad Media Camp, as I mentioned, here, you know, I think I've got a form I'll include the link to if you're interested in getting information about it, a Google form. But in the March timeframe, I'm expecting to have these modules built and be able to have this available as a product. So if you'd like to host at your own school a 3-day iPad Media Camp, because of my new position and job, I'll be a lot more limited in being able to do these in the summer than I have the past few years. I am planning to do a face-to-face iPad Media Camp here in Oklahoma City in August, right before we start, and I'll be doing that for members of our staff at Cassidy School, but also inviting other teachers who would like to, and I'll I'll be getting that information online pretty quickly because I want to allow people to plan for that. But you don't have to come to Oklahoma City. There'll be other ways to do that. And you can find that at iPadMediaCamp.com, or you can follow the Twitter handle iPadMediaCamp. So you've probably found this podcast on speedofcreativity.org, which is my blog. And then you can also follow me on my main Twitter channel or Twitter ID, which is W Fryer. So Shelley, what's your closing thought? You told people on your closing thought at the conference? Do you remember that Friday?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
What did I say?
You talked about relationships and connections with kids. That was good.
Yeah.
You want me to talk?
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. We're able to, that was one of the best things about Friday is we were able to I think, definitely focus it on, you know, the relationships we build with students, engagement, connections. I mean, those are the things that I'm always most drawn to when I hear podcasts or when I'm going to conference sessions or teachers that are very passionate about teaching, about the profession, about connecting with kids, about inspiring, you know, kids to be more, to be curious, to reach further. And technology is such a powerful tool to do those kinds of things. So we would welcome your feedback. Also welcome your ratings. We hardly ever say this, but this podcast is in iTunes. And if you want to leave a rating, I think you could be like the third or fourth person ever to leave a rating in iTunes for the Speed of Creativity podcast, which would be great. And would love any of your feedback that you want to leave as a comment here or as a tweet. So you can tweet to Shelley at S Fryer or tweet to me at W Fryer. And we would love to hear from you. So thanks very much. Have a great rest of your day.
Adios, amigos.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.